Thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 14 and verse 42. Now, as I've said in previous discourses, I'm trying to bring this little sequence to an end on the Gethsemane experience. And I have one last thing that I want to speak on. And it's in verse 42 of chapter 14 of Mark. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Particularly, rise, let us go. Now, the title I'm going to give to this brief discourse is this: Triumphant Grace. Triumphant Grace. Now, however do I get triumphant grace out of rise, let us go? Now, I hope I'm not overstating this. I don't think I am, but let's come to it. Remember the circumstances. Put yourself in their place. These disciples, well-meaning, Peter has been vehement, well-meaning, have fallen asleep, have failed to keep watch with Jesus, have let him down. They must have disappointed him. Jesus is a real man. He's been away sweating, praying with his Father. That battle has been won. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But when he comes back, three times he finds them asleep, and he knows they're going to desert him, deny him, run away from him, turn their backs on him, even though they mean so well. Now, put yourself in Christ's position. I know we can't, but we do get the impression and thinking about Christ, you know, that he's altogether beyond this. But he's a real man as well as God. What might he do? I tell you what many of us would do. How we would react if we were let down, if we were deserted, if we were denied, if people let us down like this, how would we react? What does Christ say? Go away. Go away. I've had enough of you. I'll start again. Remember, that kind of thing was said by God to Moses. Let me destroy Israel, and I'll make a new nation of you. Did Christ say that here? Did he say to the disciples, no, I've had enough of you. You're no good, Peter. You're no good, James and John. You're no good, you fellows. Look, let me start with somebody else. No. Rise. You've been sleeping. You've let me down, but rise. And I think it is literally get up on your feet, but I think there is more to it. I think rise, yes. Let us go. You see? He's still with them. And I'll meet you again after the resurrection and all that kind of talk. Let us go. You're still with me. Yes, you're failures. You're sinners. You're feeble. You're weak. But Christ is gracious still. He's kind to them. He's loving to them. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end, even when they were deserting him, even when they were failing him. I'm not saying this so I can presume upon free grace, but to live on it, and to die on it, and to rejoice in it. Grace triumphant, that is the point. And my mind has gone to a hymn by John Kent. I hope it will speak to you. The title in my hymn book here is Grace Triumphant, and that is it, Triumphant Grace. Hark! How the blood-bought hosts above conspire to praise redeeming love in sweet, harmonious strains. And while they strike the golden lyres, this glorious theme each bosom fires. What glorious theme? Listen to it. That grace triumphant reigns. Join thou, my soul, for thou canst tell how grace divine broke up thy cell and loose thy native chains. And still, from that auspicious day, how oft art thou constrained to say that grace triumphant reigns. Grace, till the tribes redeemed by blood are or brought to know themselves and God, her empire, grace, her empire shall maintain, to call when he appoints the day, and from the mighty take the prey, shall grace triumphant reign. When called to meet the king of dread death, should love compose my dying bed, and grace my soul sustain, then ere I quit this mortal clay, I'll raise my fainting voice and say, let grace triumphant reign.